My son is a sergeant in the Marine Corps. He grew up here in Chicago and in January was sent off with the very first wave. He's with the 1st Marine Division. He's with the 1-4. Rob was shipped out in January, and I was against this war long before it started. I had marched in my first demonstration back in October. So I was against the war before it started. I was against the war after it started. I'm still against the war. I think that a war that is unjust and immoral doesn't become more just and more moral just because it started. There were a lot of questions after the invasion in March. I had a lot of questions about how can you continue to speak out against the war when your son is over there? Why aren't you supporting the troops? And I never saw anything inconsistent in my opposing the war and supporting the troops. In fact, there was a point in time at which I really believed that the only way to support the troops was to oppose the war. This war has been dreadful. And I know, I mean, there are people, you know, veterans here who understand what war is all about. We do not have any concept of war in this country. War to us is 3,000 people dying at the World Trade Center, gone in a flash. You know, Flight 93 crashing in Ohio. It is far worse than that. I know Stacy and I have talked about this. I mean, I lost sleep at night worrying about what could happen to my son worse than dying. What could be worse than just getting killed in this war? What if he were captured? What if he were tortured? What if he were paraplegic? What if he lost limbs? What if he were brain damaged? So you go through all of that and not sleeping. The press is a killer. I was interviewed by Paula Zahn on CNN, and I told her producer that CNN was killing military families with their constant coverage of the war. And not just the constant coverage of the war, but they would run these bulletins, you know, along the bottom of the screen. So you would come home from work at night and you would see five Marines killed. You had no idea what Marines, where they were, if the families had been notified or not. And then you would realize, oh, wait. This is the same bulletin they had last night. It's the same five Marines. You find yourself feeling guilty that you don't get a phone call in the middle of the night. You don't have somebody knocking on your front door to tell you your kid's been killed or injured. And then you feel horrible because you can't take any comfort in the fact that it just means somebody else's kid has been killed or injured. So you go through all of those horrible emotions. Then I started worrying about not just what could happen to him, but what he might have to do and what he might have to witness. Now, unlike Stacy's son, my son is 31 years old. He's not a kid. He chose the Marine Corps. He also had many other options. A lot of these young kids that are in the war have no other options. My son's platoon, he called me as they were on their way to Kuwait, and half of the young men in his platoon had just graduated from high school. Now, I will tell you what we sent these kids to do. We sent these kids to kill Iraqi children. We sent these kids to kill Iraqi civilians. We sent these kids to be driving in amphibious assault vehicles on the road from Kuwait to Baghdad, looking at one another and looking at the carnage at the side of the road. My son described this to me. He said it was surreal. It was like a Dali landscape. He said you would look at the guy next to you and say, "Did I just see what I think I saw?" And your mind would shut it out. They were seeing torsos. They were seeing headless bodies. He said, "Mom, I saw a guy who'd been run over by a tank." He said to me at one point, "I didn't know the human body had so much blood in it." This is what we're not hearing back here. This is what we don't want to talk about. You know, we want to make this a nice, clean, oh, only 300 Americans have been killed. Well, how many have been wounded? And what is the extent of their injuries? My son right now is attending group therapy out at Camp Pendleton for post-traumatic stress disorder. And our Vietnam veterans never did get that. So we have to have a very clear understanding of what it is we're doing. The reason I'm so enraged with this administration is that because we, and people will say to me, "Well, your kid volunteered. He knew what he was getting into. This is what his job is." Well, you know what? His job in his mind, being the idealist that he is, Mr. Marine, proud, honor, clean, all of this, he felt his job was to, he was volunteering to defend this country, to protect Americans. He did not volunteer to promote some kind of neoconservative agenda in the Middle East. that Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl and Cheney were putting forth in 1997, why we have to take over Iraq, why we have to take over Iran, it's not what he signed on for. And I think we have to get really angry about what is happening to these young people over there and realize that the best course of action for them is still to get them the hell out of there and take this mess that we've created in Iraq and turn it over to some kind of coalition that can start rebuilding this nation, that can start getting these people back on their feet, that can start giving them their own autonomy without it being a military occupation and leaving Stacy's son, as my son was, sitting ducks for people who are very angry with us. So that's kind of where I am. I think that we have to mobilize political action. I think it's all well and good to be angry about the war, but I've sort of turned my efforts now to political action. I think we have got to get this administration out of Washington, and it's going to take a lot of work. I've been working with Jan Schakowsky. I talked to her yesterday. I know she and a group of congressmen are planning on voting against this $87 billion funding that the administration is looking for. That's going to be controversial. There are some military families who are going to say, how can you leave my kid over there with no protection? Well, guess what? When my son was going up into Baghdad from Kuwait, Lieutenant Colonel John Meyer, who was the commander of the 1-4, was quoted in the press as saying that he felt at that point that his troops were in more danger from their own equipment than they were from the enemy. They were in 25-year-old amphibious assault vehicles that, because the president rushed us into this war, they had no time to do routine maintenance. 20% of their vehicles had broken down in the desert in Kuwait. And if they couldn't get them fixed, they were going to have to leave those troops behind because there was no way to double up because they're jammed in like sardines. So we need to question where our military budget is going, what's really being spent on. It sure isn't going to military salaries. These guys, are, you know, Halliburton's making billions of dollars over there. Combat pay is $250 a month. So this is what we have to understand is what's really going on over there? Where is the money really going? What are we asking our young people to do? And I think we need to see more. I think we need to know, where are these injured soldiers? What's happened to them? Not just Jessica Lynch. Jessica Lynch is being used for PR purposes by this administration. That's shameless. And the troops are furious. My son was furious when he came home and saw all the attention Jessica Lynch was getting and millions of dollars. I had to keep reminding him it's not her fault. But they're pitting the troops one against the other. They're turning our kids into killers of children in Iraq and civilians in Iraq, and they know they're doing it, and they're devastated by it, but they have no choice. They're put in these situations where they never know where the threat is coming from. So I would encourage you all to speak to any military families that you can to understand what's really going on, and mostly to get behind a candidate that's going to beat Bush in next year.